Book of Colossians. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Wow, what a blessed people we are. Blessing of worship. You know, I came to worship today without fear of persecution or afraid somebody would meet me at the door, keep me from coming in. What a blessing it is to have the freedom to worship. Came to worship today knowing that Jesus Christ was my Savior. And what a blessing it is to know where you're going. I worship today because my God is worthy. And what a blessing it is to be a child of the King. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Colossians. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. That word grace is the same word for thanksgiving. So let's put that there. Singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for our salvation that was paid for by the blood, the life of your precious Son, Jesus. Thank you for your word, whereby we may grow and learn of you and know you. Thank you for your presence as we go through this life, knowing that we're never alone. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege that you have given to me to proclaim your word. And now I pray for everyone present. You know the needs of this congregation. You know the ones who need to be saved. I pray they'll come to you today. You know the ones, Lord, who are hurting because of circumstances of life. I pray for their comfort. You know the ones that are fighting battles. The ones who are fighting evil itself in their lives. Father, I pray for your strength for them. I pray, Lord, your will be done in this service today. We give you all glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you thankful? You know, it's easy to be thankful when you look at things. It's easy to be thankful for things that we can see, and we should be thankful for things that we can see. You know? I mean, do you have a home? Isn't it wonderful to have a home? Roof over our head, a warm place to sleep. It's a blessing of God. You know something else that's wonderful? Cars. Cars are wonderful, and I don't mean certain makes or models or how new or old your car is. I mean, it's nice. I live probably 5 miles, that's a guess, from the church, 4 miles from the church. I rode this morning in a warm and dry vehicle. And I remember the stories of the old timers when I was growing up that tell me about them going to church in a wagon. They'd get to church and they'd stay all, you know, half, most of the day because they had to make it worth their while when they got there because it was such a big deal to get there. Oh, that's good. And I want you to be thankful for the things that you can see. That's wonderful. But what about those things you cannot see? Today I want to challenge you to stop and to think about those things that you don't hold in your hand, but they're really just as valuable and as real as those material blessings that we thank God for. And we start in the text being thankful for peace. Peace, of course, is basically the absence of anxiety. And I don't know about you, but I love peace. And the older I become, the more I love peace. Are y'all that way? Used to, I would turn my music up loud and I wanted my day to be exciting. Now I turn the music off and just say, shh. Because I like peace. I like that freedom from anxiety, freedom of fear, from fear. Well, in this text that we read, we're told, let the peace of God rule in you, in your hearts. The word rule, it carries the idea of deciding. It could even be described as an umpire, right? Here's what you need to understand about being thankful for peace. When you were saved, you were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit of God moved into you. And He lives in you. Now, there are a lot of benefits from that. But one benefit I want to point out to you is the benefit that when something is in my life that's wrong, guess what happens? There is an alarm that goes off. It's like, I guess, a burglar alarm, if you will. And it's this alarm that says, no, don't do that. When I'm somewhere that I'm not supposed to be, the alarm goes off and says, no, get out, run. When I'm doing things that I should not do, the alarm goes off and says, no. When I think I'm going to give them a piece of my mind before I do, guess what happens? The alarm goes off and says, Doug, be quiet. They don't need a piece of your mind. And you know what? All I have to do is listen to that alarm to have peace. I have discovered through the course of my life that if I do not heed that alarm, that a lack of peace or an influx of anxiety, worry, and care and fear will flood my life after I don't listen. But boy, when I listen, and I say, okay, I'm going to keep my mouth closed. And I walk away, and you know I walk away thinking, thank you, Lord, for shutting my mouth. I've discovered, you know, the Lord never called me to speak my mind at any time. He called me to preach the gospel. But He's never said, Doug, just go ahead and say anything you want to say. He's never done that. And as long as I listen, I live in peace, knowing that, okay, not only do I have peace with God, I have peace with others. I thank God for that peace. Now, not only do I have peace because I listen, but I have peace with people and circumstances. And that's maybe even harder, right? Because there are some unpleasant people and some unpleasant circumstances in this world. I mean, let's face it, not everybody is as nice as we are, right? It seems like there's always someone who wants to rob you of your peace. Here's what I want to share with you about people and circumstances. You cannot control other people. You cannot control circumstances. You're not on the throne, God is. Here's what you can do with people and circumstances. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Now, if I tell you be anxious for nothing and just end it right there, I haven't done you any favors. But as Paul writes, the Apostle Paul writes, he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In that verse, I go back to those times when I was afraid. Those times when I got on my knees, said, God, I don't know if I can do this. God, I know I can't do this. So, Lord, I give it to You. And in that moment, that flood of peace that just filled my soul. Have you ever done that? You see, that's where you have peace. When that person that's just trying to make your life miserable, what do you do about them? You pray about them. Bring them before the Lord. Ask God's help for them. Ask God to bless them. You don't understand, Brother Doug, they're wrong. It doesn't matter. You see, Jesus said to love our enemies. Pray for those who abuse you. You know what I've discovered? Once again, I've discovered that, well, I can deal with it a lot better if I pray for the good of my enemy instead of praying, Lord, wipe them off the earth. You see, it's in those times that the peace of God comes as a flood into my soul. And here's the reason. I said you can't control your circumstances. You can't control other people. Here's what you can rest with all assurance. That my Jesus is the master of the wind. You see, He's the God that can speak peace to the storm. You're familiar with the story of the disciples as they were out on the Sea of Galilee and a treacherous storm blew up and they were afraid and they went. Jesus was in the front of the boat and they said, Jesus, wake up. We're dying. Don't you care that we perish? You remember what Jesus did? He stood up and He said, peace. Be still. There was a calm in that storm that the disciples had never seen before. That's the God that we serve. There can be peace. Oh, you know, we can talk about political parties and governments and things going on. No. Let's focus on the peace. You see, we do have the assurance that God is still on His throne. And He's still listening to our prayers. So glory to God. When we lay down tonight, we can lay down with every assurance that all things are under His control. Now that's peace, right? Not only are we told, let the peace of God rule. In verse 15, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In verse 16, I'm thankful for the Word. I'm thankful for the Word of God. You see, when He says in verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, do you understand what that means? That word dwell, it means to live, right? To live within or to live through. Now, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is a verse that we've known all of our lives, but I want to point something out in reference to that verse. It says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know that word, when it says for the Word of God is living, that word living means alive. The intent with the word alive is that it is active, right? Move, living, breathing. So the challenge of the text, when it says let the Word of Christ be alive in you, you're supposed to be a walking Bible. Really, Brother Doug? Absolutely. When it says when we're going to let the Word of God live in us, that means our actions, the things that we do, are going to be a direct reflection of the things that we know through the Word of God. You want to know what the wonderful thing about the Word of God is and living the Word of God is? I don't have to make decisions. I'm going to say that again. When I live the Word of God, I don't make very many decisions. Why? Because the decisions are already made for me. I don't have to decide if I'm going to love my wife today. Why? Because the Word of God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. For me to get up and say, well, I'm not going to love Beth today. Well, there are multiple. That's wrong on so many levels. But it's in direct conflict to the Word of God. And if I'm going to let the Word of God live, it's going to live through me. I'm going to have to love her as Christ loved the church. I don't have to decide if I'm going to get back at those who have abused me. Make sense? You know, those that have done me wrong and they've said things they shouldn't have said, and they have blasphemed me and just been terrible to me. What do I have to do? All I have to do is love them, because the Bible says love your enemies. Brother Doug, that's not easy. It is easier than you think if you just let the Bible live. See, judgment belongs to God. He will repay. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Don't you get in the way of letting God do His thing. Your thing is to live the Word. Oh, there are some decisions that I might have to make through life. Decisions that are not really important. And I mean, like colors of carpet and, you know, what I'm going to wear. And, you know, do I like this food, or what am I going to have for lunch? I mean, those are not decisions that really have an earth-shattering impact. The decisions that really matter are the decisions that God has already made for me. And the only decision I have to make is, am I going to allow God to live in my life? I am so thankful for the Word of God that, see, it's through that Word that once again I have peace. And not only are we told to let the Word live, we're told to teach the Word. Which says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and I wish this had been translated differently, because it really doesn't make good sense in the way that it's translated. Most have translated it incorrectly. Here's the deal, okay? There are three things here. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you or live in you. That's number one. Number two, teaching and admonishing one another, right? In what? In the Word of God. We have a responsibility to one another. And then, and number three is singing with thanksgiving in your hearts, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? The psalms, hymns, and spiritual song go with the singing with grace in your hearts, or singing with thanksgiving in your hearts. Okay? That's the correct translation. But we're told here to teach the Word. Do you realize how important instruction in the Word of God is? As a matter of fact, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say the most important ministry that Victory Missionary Baptist Church has is instruction in the Word of God. Now, we do some other good things. Have wonderful song services, wonderful worship, wonderful times of fellowship we're going to have tonight. But make no mistake, the most important ministry that we have is ministry of the Word. Why do you say that, Brother Doug? I say that because of our commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we're told, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. That word make disciples means to teach, to instruct. You see, sometimes a disciple, understand, is a learner or a student. Sometimes we become confused of why we're on this earth. I want you to understand the church is not here so that we can issue fire insurance. So we can get people out of hell. Listen, hell's real and you do need to avoid it. But you understand this. Salvation is not just about missing hell. Right? We're here to help people become students of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our command. Right? Our job does not end when we win somebody to the Lord. We're here to help people grow and come to that point where they're a shining light to everybody who lives around them and sees their life. And I want to give you this. The focus is not how much scripture you memorize or how many times you've read the Bible through or how many Sunday school classes you've sat through. That's not what's important. What's important is how much you're going to let the Word live through you. Okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm all about preaching. Y'all know that. Man, I love to preach. Love to teach. Wednesday nights, we have a wonderful Wednesday night Bible study. Everybody's invited. And we're very informal. We just get set down and we dig into the Word. Wonderful time. But it must be applied. What you know is not important until you put it into practice. Okay? And I'm so thankful for the instruction that I've received in my life. I look back at where I was growing up. Judson Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in Griffithville, Arkansas. We had about 30, 40, 50 people there that went there. And every Sunday morning we'd go and I'd go into Sunday school, and you kids won't get this, but I'd go into Sunday school and my Sunday school teacher would have flannographs. I think that's what they called them. Stick Jesus on a piece of felt paper. You know, it that was the coolest thing ever. There's those teachers that started me on the path of being a student of the Word. So our teachers today, I want to tell you I appreciate you. Because you're setting people on a path to be students of the Word. Oh, I grew up and went through teenage years and boy, I did everything right as a teenager. I remember very well I was so dedicated to the Lord. Not really. Matter of fact, I'm kind of ashamed of some of the things that... No, I'm not kind of ashamed. I am ashamed of some of the things that I did. But I remember going to church as a teenager. I remember a youth pastor, Brother Michael's dad. Bless his heart. He'd look at us sometime and he'd just shake his head. But he kept ministering to us. Praise God for that. You ever look at teenagers and just say, been there. I've been the teenager that caused that. But people were still sticking with me through that, teaching me the Word of God. Remember as a young adult, Best Dad was very instrumental in helping me to become a student of the Word of God. Remember going to the seminary. But I'm thankful that God put people in my path that would turn me toward the Word. And He's still doing it today. He's still putting people in my path that turn me toward the Word. And I praise God for that. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Number three, we're to be thankful for the opportunity. We're told in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all to the Lord, unto the Lord Jesus. Put it shortly and simply, serve God wherever you are. Okay? Here's the thing. We try to separate the secular and the sacred. See, the sacred is what we do on Sunday. We come here and we sing and we pray and we give our offerings. All that is the sacred part. But on Monday, we've got to get up and go to work, and that's secular. And so we need to keep the secular separated from the sacred. No. No. You see, when you were saved, you were not saved for Sunday. You were saved for every day of the week. Every day. And so with that understanding, we have to come to grips with the fact that God expects us that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, that we bring glory to Him. Now, I'm not telling you that when you go on break at work, you've got to stand on a chair and say, for God so loved the world. No. But I am telling you what you've got to do. You've got to let others see Jesus living in you. Got to be willing that when somebody comes to you and they say, I don't know what to do. My life's a wreck. What am I supposed to do? Let me introduce you to Jesus. Now, we've got to quit living secular and sacred lives and start living consecrated lives 7 days a week. You know, I look at where I am and I'm very thankful. I'm thankful that God has placed me where I am, that I'm the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. And I'm thankful for the men that I work with, church staff. I'm thankful for every member of this church. I'm thankful for what God has done. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. But here's my goal. That wherever I find myself today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years from now, that wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'll do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, by His authority and for His glory. For that, my friends, is why we're here. You know what? I'm thankful. And today I want to challenge you to be thankful for the things that you can't hold in your hand, but you can sure keep in your heart. Thankful for the peace that passes all understanding, that can only come from Jesus Christ. Thankful for the Word of God that blesses the soul. Thankful for where you are and the opportunities that God has set before you. The people that God has surrounded you with and given you opportunity to influence their lives. People that God has surrounded me with. Be thankful. You see, we kind of want to look at the world and worldly things and count our blessings that way. I'm convinced that the greatest blessings are the ones that you don't hold in your hands, but the ones you keep in your heart. With that in mind, I want to ask you, do you have peace? I'm talking about the peace of God, knowing that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven because He's prepared a place for you. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you took your last breath today, you'd spend eternity with Jesus in heaven? If you don't have that peace, brother, you need it. Sister, you need it. The good news is that God loved you so much that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Now, it's at this point I remind you, you can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. It is a free gift of God offered to you. What you have to do is receive it. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called? Have you called? If you have not, we're going to have an invitation. And I want to invite you to come.